From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through GEICO, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage
in association with AIR.
I'm joined by Tara Kangerlou, global affairs journalist and author of The Heartbeat of Iran, to analyse the latest on the conflict in the Middle East. We have Benjamin Netanyahu saying that the war will end faster than people think. Meanwhile, there are reports of US Marines en route to the region. Tara, it is extraordinarily difficult because of the conflict and what people are saying to get a sense of what is likely to happen between those two positions, boots on the ground and war ending unexpectedly quick. Where does truth live?
Hi, Anton. Good morning. I think everyone's essentially singing their own tune. There's a huge lack of inconsistency between the White House and Israel. We saw that yesterday. An example of that was when Israel said, we attacked the South Pars facilities in Iran. As you know, the largest gas field provides 70% of Iran's civilian gas. And so they said that it was in coordination with the United States. But then President Trump came out and immediately, in ways, condemned that and said Israel did that unilaterally and we were not involved with that. And they lashed out and they're not supposed to do that again. And then yesterday, in a White House briefing with the Prime Minister of Japan, that question was raised, right? Whether or not Israel unilaterally take actions, President Trump, that you're not aware of, and to which he said, yes, sometimes he does things on his own, sometimes I'm not happy, he meaning Bibi. So the point is, right now we have a situation where the United States and Israel are not consistent in their messaging, in their actions, and also possibly in their agenda. At the same time, Iran is saying that we're defending ourselves, we are retaliating because we're being attacked. And for them, it's an existential crisis. So they're going all in because, for, you know, in some ways, they think by escalating, just possibly, they might be de-escalating and creating grounds for the Gulf countries, at the very least, to put pressure for US and Israel to de-escalate. So fluid situation. Nobody really knows the end game for US and Israel, because the objectives are unclear. But for Iran, the end game and the mission is to survive.
What about from Iran's perspective in terms of impacting the global economy? Because we've already seen Goldman Sachs saying that oil will now likely stay north of $100 a barrel for the foreseeable future. Are there any guarantees that at the point at which the US and Israel say, well, we are now finished, that Iran will also stop interdicting shipping at in the Straits of Hormuz and stop the attacks on facilities like those in Qatar?
I mean, I can't tell you what the Iranian regime will do, but of course, Strait of Hormuz is a choking point. It's one that Iran uses as its last resource. Its impact is felt both on Iran and on the global market. So it's to no one's benefit to hold that strait hostage. However, Financial Times this morning, I think, was reporting that Iran is charging millions of dollars of insurance from boats to cross through safely. So the idea of them running their own, you know, covert sort of operation to let ships go by, I'm not surprised by that. And mind you, Anton, this is significant for us to remember. The role of China here is pivotal, because China buys nearly 80% of Iran's crude oil. Okay, this is sanctioned oil, and they essentially, meaning Iranians, ship it through the Gulf ghost vessels, right? They relabel them, they turn the GPS off, and they send them off to China. And that is billions of dollars of revenue for Iran. And essentially, over the years, it is China who prevented the IRGC to go bankrupt. So long as that relationship exists, Iran is in somewhat of a good shape. Now, Qatar, although on the other hand, is in deep trouble because the Ras Al Khaimah LNG fields were, or rather facilities, not fields, the fields in, are in the water, were hit. And that is 17% of Qatar's LNG exports. And that, I can easily tell you, would set that country between 3 to 5 years back. So that was a huge setback for Qatar. And mind you, that those facilities are I don't want to say co-owned by, but ExxonMobil has a whole lot of stake in that facility as well. So huge impact for the Gulf region, for the world, 35% spike in Europe. But last point I would make here is that we need to remember that Gulf countries are also not aligned, okay? Their interests vary from one another. And for them, win looks different. Saudi Arabia and the UAE were having frosty relationships up until very recently. And Qatar also is always cautious of what Saudi does. So bottom line, volatile situation in the Gulf at a time that these countries are fending for themselves and are not possibly united on all fronts.
Tara Kangaroo, thank you very much. Tara Kangaroo, global affairs journalist and author of The Heartbeat of Iran.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.